CT Examiner had an article that talked about these conversations that are already happening before a special session takes place in the fall regarding that massive housing bill, House Bill 5002. Ultimately, the governor, as you know, vetoed that bill. And those who were worried about it and had problems with it, overwhelmingly, it wasn't all, but overwhelmingly were town and city leaders in Fairfield County. But there were certainly other leaders across the state that had problems with it, as well as even two Democrats in the state Senate that voted against it when the session was going on. But I digress. So this article was talking about how there was kind of the first of many meetings that happened over Zoom. And we are going to talk to Joe DeLong, who is the executive director and CEO of CCM, which again is the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. He was on that call. But what's interesting is as you scroll down through this article, you see there are obviously people who are very upset that the governor did veto that bill, including State Representative Antonio Felipe from right here in Bridgeport, who also is the co-chair of the legislature's housing committee and one of the crafters of this bill. And he brings up, in particular, the mindset of where people who wanted it vetoed want to not allow affordable housing to go. He says in here, quote, because we are in a housing crisis right now, we are also in a place where all the affordable housing goes in places like my home community of Bridgeport. And then he continues by saying, what I'm seeing now is they really want to strip things out, which makes the bill less effective. It's taking half a step instead of a couple of steps. And he goes on to say that some communities in Fairfield County that would rather not have Bridgeport residents move to their neighborhoods, basically blaming the fact that you have people living in my city, Bridgeport, that Westport just doesn't want living there. And so this was something that I wanted to talk to Greenwich First Selectman Fred Camillo about, because immediately after that part in the article, he commented and really talked about the fact that that is not the case, certainly in his municipality of Greenwich. And he joins us now. First Selectman, thank you so much for your time. Talk to us a little bit about your reaction to those initial comments made by Representative Felipe.
Well, good morning, Melissa, and thank you for having me on. And also, I just want to say, echo your comments about Bill Gerber. We're certainly thinking of Bill, and we're all praying for him.
Thank you.
Having served in the legislature for 11 years, I know how it works. And I know sometimes people say things that may play well in their districts, but are not helpful to the state as a whole. So I wanted to clarify, you know, the situation. And every time that they put a bill out like this every year, I will testify against it, but also not just say what I'm against, but what I'm for and what we're doing here. And even Governor Lamont, who resides here, has come to a lot of ribbon cuttings and ceremonies where we're opening new public housing or we're renovating old public housing and saying Greenwich is doing it the right way. And by that he means doing it locally. But also we're very proud of what we're producing. As I've explained to some of the people who are advocates of public housing who make statements like that, come to Greenwich. I'll personally bring you around and show you exactly what we've been doing, especially in the last 6 years. Since I've taken office, we were at 5.2% of that 10% mandate of 1030G, which is a law that was put into place in 1991. And only 28 municipalities out of 169 have attained it, mostly cities. So it hasn't worked. But in Greenwich, we're now up to 6%. So that's about a 14% increase in a few years. And we have plans right now on the table that will get us well over 7% in the next 2 years, with even a bigger plan if we can work something out to get it even higher, with some creative and, you know, thinking, out-of-the-box thinking. And but it's hard. It's not easy. It's number one, obviously, land is not cheap in state and in this county. But also we have, like almost every single town, you heard before, we had 3.19 inches of rain last night. We flood. And so houses and buildings were built 60, 70, 80 years ago, probably shouldn't have been built. So we're trying to mitigate the flooding there. So when you say you're for, you know, the environment and for open space and, you know, greenways, and then mandate that, you know, you have to chop up 2- and 4-acre zones and add impervious surface where there's soil. So you have to be very careful what you do there. Also, part of the bill said that it would restrict the right of a town to require off-street parking. But if you've been to Greenwich, there's certain sections here, and I've lived in one of them, where it's really hard. It's congested. So we're trying to resolve that and work around that, which is really hard. And then you have this part of the bill that would actually make it way worse than that. I mean, it would say basically the developer can circumvent local zoning and not have to worry about requiring off-street parking. And when you speak to, you know, our fire department and GEMS, the emergency medical and others, it's hard to get trucks in and out of there in some streets as it is. So you don't want to exacerbate that situation. So a one-size-fits-all mandate from Harper, especially coming from legislators who've probably never even been here. In fact, I called up a few in the past after I've seen some comments on their phones and admitted they've never been here. So that, you know, I've invited them to come here, and I'm happy to show them what the progress we're making.
You know, to your point, Mr. Camillo, do you feel like there is, you know, like it's interesting that you hear from the Democratic Party that there's fear mongering going on from certain housing groups as well as the Republican Party. But to your point, do you feel that there is also a lot of politicizing not truths? You know, when you hear that, oh, these rich communities like a Greenwich, a Darien, a Westport, they don't want our people in our inner cities moving there. It really it makes them look bad. What is your response to that?
Well, that all that is doing is basically class warfare, dividing people, riling people up beyond the, you know, where they're hiding in within their district lines, right? They wouldn't say that in other places if they had to represent communities that were mixed, right? And were districts that were competitive. They wouldn't talk like that, but they can because they're in safe districts. As I've, you know, I always mention when I, you know, testify or debate with somebody, you know, my grandma lived in public housing, Armstrong Court in Greenwich. Greenwich has a housing authority. We have since the 1950s. So, you know, my family comes from that. So this notion that, oh, these are rich communities and they don't want anybody looking like it, it's ridiculous. A third of our public school kids fall into the ALICE category, which is asset limited, income constrained, and employed, meaning they work, but they struggle. Over a quarter of our public school kids are on free and reduced lunch. And we're, you know, as I said, fixing up the housing that we have, affordable housing, but have plans, and we're actually building new units, but we have to make sure where they go, it's not going to, as I said, exacerbate flooding. And, you know, we're really careful about, you know, taking away green space, because you really have to be very careful now. And we have terrible flooding in certain parts of our town, just like every town does. Every town has an issue. But my message is to legislators, focus on job creation, right? And if you really want to, you know, promote affordable housing, that's great. Why don't you go to the 169 municipalities, see what works there, but leave it to the local leaders there to decide what goes in their towns. Because this notion of, oh, they just don't want people who look like us, is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, if you look at Greenwich and you break down the demographics, you can see that's not true. But again, you know, they'll pinpoint certain, communities, and they try to create a narrative and highlight that and say, well, this is what we're up against. These are people are just don't want anybody in there, which is ridiculous. It absolutely is ridiculous. And, you know, having served in the legislature, I'm disappointed that I see that going on there, because it never used to be that bad. You know, you always had a few people that would make comments that weren't, you know, were out of line, but usually people on both sides of the aisle would talk to them, even in your own party, and say, you know, stuff like that's not helping anything. So we'll see. But I did reach out to both Jason Rojas, who's a House leader, and mm-hmm. Bob Duff, who's a Senate leader. I know those guys. Got along very well with them, and invited them down here. And they were both receptive. So I'm going to try and get them down here at some point in the summer. I told the governor that, a Democratic state rep here in Greenwich, who I was with the other night, thought it was a good idea. So we're going to keep reaching out and get some good. When I spoke with Jason on the phone, he was excited to do that. And I said, if you see something here that you like, and you know, another municipality may be struggling with how to do it, you know, we're happy to but for any type of advice that's worked here and maybe what hasn't worked here. So, you know, but everybody's different. You know, we love diversity, and you got to let people, these towns have their diversity. If you
right.
want to move
what
to this.
Works for one town may not work for another. Will you let me know, for Selectman Camillo, if at least the two entities you just mentioned, Senator Duff and Senator Rojas, if they end up doing a tour of Greenwich, let me know, because I would love to then have them on the show. I know Rojas has been on our show. He is very loves coming on the show. He's fine with it. I have a little bit of a harder time getting Senator Duff on. He used to come on all the time. But after they do their tours, let me know, because I'd love to then have them on the show and ask their perspective, and if you know, and obviously let you know, so we can have almost a collective conversation. Because I think at the end of the day, there's full agreement that we have a housing crisis and we need to create housing. But the way we go about it, we are very divided on as a state. And so I would love to continue this conversation. And I thank you for being so vocal about it and being part of it here on WICC.
My pleasure, and I certainly will do that, Melissa.
I really appreciate it. Again, First Electman Fred Camillo from the great town of Greenwich, thank you so much for your time.